The contents of this page have not been reviewed or endorsed by the Chicago Bulls. All opinions expressed by Sam Smith are solely his own and do not reflect the opinions of the Chicago Bulls or their basketball operations staff, parent company, partners, or sponsors. His sources are not known to the Bulls, and he has no special access to information beyond the access and privileges that go along with being an NBA-accredited member of the media.
Well, that was a tough week. I think you might want to record that. I may be saying that again quite a bit this season. Last week, in which the Bulls lost three and pulled out that just one on the Dunleavy banked in three to beat the Bucks on Friday the 13th, of all things. And I think everybody knows Friday the 13th was invented, or at least came about, was favorited by a guy who was quaffing down quite a bit of beer and brats and had an unfortunate ending. But I will look that up to see it. But that's the story you hear in Waukesha and among some other places, Stevens Point. Anyway, so off we are. The season heads on. Tough start for the first quarter. That was through that 4-5. That was 10 losses in the last 13 games for the Bulls. That's around beating Miami and a couple of weeks earlier beating Indiana. So I think at this point, it appears that if the Bulls could get into some sort of round robin with just the Heat and, I guess that's not going to work. Anyway, this week should be a tough one. Oh, did I mention that already? Tough week? Yeah, another tough week coming up. Heading out to play Western Conference teams who, the last time I checked, had a 73% winning percentage against decent conference teams this season. And the shocking part to me about that is, where were those 27% Eastern wins come from? The Bulls are in Houston Wednesday and then Oklahoma City. And the TV networks, apparently not having gotten the news that Derrick Rose is out, the Bulls will be on ESPN and WGN on Wednesday and doing the TNT game on Thursday. So we all had obviously a lot of hope that Derek would still be playing, especially on TV. Going to Houston is interesting. Obviously, they're a really good team now with Dwight Howard. I think they're going to with James Harden, although Harden's has got some developing pretty serious ankle problems. It's not a break or any sort like that, but you've seen some pictures, and I'm not a habit of looking at people's ankles. But it's been considerably swelled. He's been playing through it, and you could see him taking some time off at some point, which makes it even more urgent for them at this point to do something with Omer Asik and to get some scoring. That's what you hear what they want. Now, that's the issue. By the time the Bulls get to Houston on Wednesday, Asik might be traded by then. It's kind of a curious thing, circumstance, but Houston and their executive, Daryl Morey, likes to do a lot of these quirky kind of things, kind of thinks he's outthinking the rest of the league. Although we did get Harden and Howard, and that's been a pretty impressive additions there, so you have to give the guy credit. But they want to trade Omer, which you know, can't fully blame him, but they did clearly make the mistake when everybody knew once you got Howard, there was no way the two of them could play together. They made a lame effort to try it, and somehow have driven Omer into being a pouting, angry guy. While in Chicago, we remember him for Bailey having said six words the whole time he was here. So now he's supposedly a guy who's making demands about being traded and has been out with a calf injury. I'm making a little hand signal of quote marks about calf injury there. We don't know exactly what that is, but he certainly isn't playing. I suspect if he gets traded this week, he'll be playing. But as I was saying, they want to make this trade by Friday the 19th, because there's rules on traded players, and there's two interesting elements this week in the NBA regarding trades, and I think so as a result. We're going to start hearing a lot more names and a lot more trade possibilities for, oh my gosh, two more months. So anyway, according to league sources, those being ranged from anything from some people staring in their mirror and repeating something to themselves, all the way up to a good conversation among a bunch of reporters and actually the occasional GM who will stop a reporter and say, hey, did you hear something? Anyway, that said, there's a limitation for 60 days on traded players being accumulated with one another primarily. So it makes it more difficult to trade a player until 60 days is expired after he's been traded. And the NBA trading deadline is 2 months and a day from Thursday, or 2 months from Thursday. So Houston wants to get that deal done by Thursday. So if necessary, the players they get in trade or draft picks, which they've been looking for, can be combined with something they have so they can make another trade by the trading deadline. And usually there's more players available to be traded by the trading deadline because several teams are either out of it or whatever has happened, and then more teams open themselves up. Now, at this point, there's always reluctance to make deals. And also teams tend to make more deals at the last minute, feeling, well, you know, might work still, guys have been injured, whatever. So there's usually not as many teams now looking to deal. So they want to get something this week. They'd like to get somebody like, I've heard Paul Millsap with Atlanta, Rondo. They feel they want a point guard. They have the Chicagoan who's been playing pretty well. Beverly with, you know, Lynn kind of is actually done pretty well off the bench shooting, although he's been hurt. But they definitely looking for scoring. Millsap with a guy makes some sense with Atlanta. You know, teams like to trade out of the conference. Atlanta can move Horford back to power forward. Ashik at center. It gives them a heck of a big front line moving forward, which you know, you'll need in the East. Indiana, obviously, with Hibbert and West, is posing a problem for Miami already. And the other big game, other than the Bulls, Houston, Bulls, Oklahoma City, the other big game of the week, perhaps a little more interest, is Indiana playing in Miami after Miami lost in Indianapolis last week. And it's a lot interesting to that matchup, which basically everybody has determined is the conference finals in the East. And it's pretty hard to argue with unless somebody gets hurt on one of those teams, a significant player. And the Pacers will be getting Danny Granger back later in the week after the Miami game. But they had, that's an unusual situation where you have the two stars on the team playing the same position and defending one another. And it was really great stuff to watch. LeBron was really into it and basically shut out Paul George in the first half. And hardly any of us ever seen this before. It really wore out LeBron, and he really wasn't very good in the second half. So it'll be interesting to see if they try that again. My guess is they don't, and they'll put LeBron on him late, much more like they used to play Derrick Rose, where they would put LeBron on him maybe the last 4 minutes of the game, you know, to keep him from losing the energy. And so, you know, actually, George seemed to handle it a little better, even though he was scoreless in the first half. So it obviously took away from his offense. But back to Omer, you know, Philadelphia has been mentioned because Sam Hinkie, their new GM, was the assistant GM in Houston. So that's a possibility. You know, a number of other teams, Sacramento has become the biggest dealing team. With the latest, you know, with Rudy Gay addition, you know, they could get involved given they could move. There's been talk about wanting to move Jason Thompson and move DeMarcus Cousins to power forward, where he really faces up anyway, doesn't really play like a traditional center. New Orleans probably wouldn't with Ryan Anderson, but, you know, could use a center. Anthony Davis comes back. And then, you know, any number of teams, although, you know, given Omer's been out with injury, you know, attitude issues, he's a good kid. I mean, I think the league is get the notion with what's going on there. And again, like I say, Houston probably should have tried to move last summer once they made the Howard deal, which was obviously a great pickup for them. So that'll be interesting to see. And I think, you know, we're going to see a lot more names starting to pop up. Zach Randolph's names come up. And, you know, we've heard that since the summer, which has been in part the issue at Memphis having a poor season. Obviously injuries have hurt. Marc Gasol got hurt and Tony Allen was out for a while, but the coaching change and change in philosophy, cutting back and Zach who'd really straightened himself out, his reputation as a league player there. Apparently they've talked about wanting to build only around Gasol and Conley and then move forward with that. Pau Gasol, you know, sort of is simmering feud with Mike D'Antoni sort of got in the open last week when they sort of questioned one another. But I'd heard the Lakers been looking to, had decided this summer that they were going to try to move Powell, and it was in the final season of his contract, and Lee just gets something, as it were, to move forward. That's, you know, much like there's a lot of talk among media in Chicago, Bulls fans, about, you know, do something with Luol Deng rather than lose him for nothing. And all these teams would like to. You know, Lakers would like to do something with Powell rather than lose him for nothing. But, you know, with he has a trade kicker that puts his salary around $20 million, which means you have to take back $20 million. There are only a couple of teams under the cap and not that far under. So you got to take back $20 million in contracts, and teams are not likely to be giving you expiring deals. And so teams like the Lakers, teams like the Bulls, all these teams with expiring guys have the expiring guys for a reason. They're looking to get, if they lose them, to get guys off their payroll so they could either, you know, have some flexibility to make other trades and take on salary of players they want to go forward with, or free agents, you know, or keep money available. You know, the Bulls case, they have Nikola Mirotic from overseas, possible to come next summer. So nobody wants to be taking back players with multiple years left. So it makes dealing, you know, a player like Gasol, Dame, you know, any number of those kinds of players with these, you know, David Lee, although he has a couple of years left, these big double figure $15 to $20 million contracts, it's very just difficult to trade. And then especially with another team wanting to give value for a guy with expiring contract. We hear a lot lately with Kyle Lowry with Toronto. Toronto has actually kind of improved themselves with the Rudy Gay deal. Not so much that Rudy Gay is a very good player and a very good scorer, but between he and DeRozan is a bad mixture, and they ended up shooting a lot. Sort of what Memphis had going with Rudy and Zach Randolph, that they got a lot better when they traded Rudy, because Rudy and Zach were competing for shots, much like DeRozan and Rudy were competing for shots. And Rudy's not by nature a bad guy or anything. It's just, you know, you get in these bad mixes. Now, that said, I don't know how it's going to work with DeMarcus Cousins, but that's to be seen. You know, you start hearing with, you know, Rondo, you know, that's another guy Houston been interested in. And I can see that with Boston. Rondo's just starting to come back and practice. He's due back next month. So that's a possibility with Omer. That'd give Boston a center. You wouldn't figure they're going to go forward with Rondo anyway. And teams that are not, you know, are not doing as well. You've heard David Lee's name, you know, regarding with Golden State, which is a tough trade as well. But they haven't started out nearly as well as they'd hoped after last season and getting to the second round in the playoffs. You know, they were being promoted as a team that could get to the conference finals, and now, you know, at least early, they're out of the top eight in the West with a couple of teams. Phoenix, who beat them on Sunday night, is a surprise, and up there, Portland has been a huge surprise, leading the West and, you know, playing terrific. Dallas has played surprisingly well with, you know, Monta Ellis has done well for them. And so the West has been really tough. And Golden State with Iguodala out, I've really missed him and his defense. You know, you can get along with the jump shooters just so much, and that's the problem they've been having without him. Defense, you know, now you've got David Lee playing a lot more. Not that Harrison Barnes is a bad defender, but not on the level of Iguodala. And that was the reason, you know, that was their thinking along with Iguodala. And I thought they gave up a lot with Jarrett Jack. And the idea was to have a facilitator, given that Curry and Klay Thompson are primarily shooters, to have a facilitator of some level, a Scottie Pippen-esque guy, although Iguodala is not that good, you know, small forward. And they started off good that way, but, you know, struggled quite a bit with Iguodala out. And it's uncertain when he'll be back. In any case, so that'd be interesting to see. Omer, and also to see the Houston team. And the Houston team, you know, if Harden's hobbled a little bit, and, you know, they're not nearly as fearsome a team. Then the Bulls see Oklahoma City, and you could imagine, you know, mentioning Harden, what kind of team that had been over the last couple of years. You know, first they lose Harden, in that trade, which was made for economic reasons about a contract. And, you know, you look back at it, it's probably the most second-guess deal in the league now. You know, they want to get in the luxury tax, small market and all. But had they just used an amnesty on Kendrick Perkins, you know, I know it's tough to want to pay a guy not to play, but you'd have figured then they'd been able to keep Harden and what a group that it still would be with those three players together. And, you know, that's what we saw. But that said, you know, Harden did want his, quote, own team, be in a position to be the guy who, you know, makes the all-star team, averages 20-plus, and which he's done. And so you can't fully blame him. You know, he might have left on them anyway. And so it's uncertain. But it's a really good, still really good organization. You know, made a good draft pick with Steven Adams, who'll work in and replace Perkins at some point. In fact, he's placed him a lot now. You know, and does well in the draft, and especially with those two players, Durant and Westbrook, are just fabulous. And it's just a, you know, tremendous scoring. And Ibaka has really come on after a slow start. Has played well defensively, scored a little bit, just enough, you know, to give him a sort of an extra option. Really tough team, but that's still not nearly the team they could have been. And because they're not the team they could have been, they're not, you know, it's uncertain, you know, where they'll be in the West, how good they'll be, and also doesn't make them an unbeatable team. Orlando went in there and had him, or at least had a shot at the end over this past weekend. You know, they'll make a lot of mistakes. They turn the ball over a lot. They get selfish at times with Westbrook and Durant going off on their own. And so, and then, you know, also hadn't replaced Kevin Martin's, whose scoring they got when, you know, in the deal with Houston, the Harden deal to replace some of the scoring, and then losing Martin. And they've sort of made a mixture with Reggie Jackson, the little guard off the bench, and Thabo Sefolosha is still there, but not a scorer. So it's been a mix and match thing, Derek Fisher. But, you know, a dynamic team to play, and, you know, always a great environment down there in Oklahoma City. The Bulls will finish off the week going to Cleveland for the Saturday game before taking a few days off before they get the opening day for Christmas in Brooklyn. And Cleveland is, you know, it's an interesting situation. That's where Deng's name comes up the most. You know, their team supposedly wants to make, and I don't really see that developing. You know, one reason being is, I mean, even though it's unrealistic, and I don't think many think it will occur, you know, they still have to hold out the belief that they can try to attract LeBron James to come next summer. And so if they're going to do that, to me, it doesn't really make sense to give up something to get, you know, a rental with Luol Deng, who plays the same position. So you're obviously not, you know, having Luol Deng in position, you know, to have him moving forward. Not saying that the Bulls would even be interested in doing it, but that's the one rumor you read about, gets mentioned, thrown out in the Cleveland media a lot. And I think just because Cleveland doesn't have a regular small forward. So they've been fishing around for that. And we saw Cleveland a couple of weeks ago. Bulls were in Cleveland and lost to the Cavs at the end of that circus trip when they were still in this huge funk over Derek's injury. Not that they've gotten that much out of it yet. And there was these issues developing with Waiters, who's kind of a headstrong guy, and Kyrie Irving, who's their star going forward. So that sparked a lot of the speculation, but it kind of sounds like at this point they're going to want to have their pieces together, you know, so they're going to have the flexibility if they can sort of lure James, be in a position to have a number of, quote, assets, draft picks, young players, so then they can make a move to get another player to go with Irving and James. And I've heard that's, you know, sort of their thinking. So even though there's a lot of speculation involving, they'll try to make a deal now. And of course, you know, NBA is anything's possible. You would think, you know, at this point, you know, and Varejao's name is one of those that has come up with Asik, which that's really didn't make a lot of sense anyway, because they've been playing Andrew Bynum. He had a great game against the Bulls. They've been bringing him along slowly. And it wouldn't make sense going forward that Asik would even want to be there where he's not going to start at center again. So, you know, it's another one of those where a lot of speculation comes up. And, you know, far be it from me to suggest trade speculation is not a good idea. Otherwise, how would we get through some of these podcasts? But anyway, that ends the week. Another week that was. Old TV show, you have to look it up. Just like a lot of my references. But anyway, thanks for tuning in, and we'll get back to you guys before Christmas next week, and we could discuss Quick Christmas in Brooklyn. Now, I had many of those as a youngster. I just did not dress like the NBA players do. So we'll see how that goes. All right. Take care.